The years leading up to and during menopause are a rite of passage. The wise woman inside of us is calling to slow down, to take stock, to speak our truth, to burn away all that no longer serves us, ready for our next cycle of life. The good news is, with the support, community, connection, and most of all, sharing our stories and being truly seen and heard, we will travel through this powerful, sometimes painful, heroine's journey and out the other side. Welcome to the Menopause Podcast, real and raw stories of midlife and mental health. I'm your host, Kylie Patchett, menopause self-care coach and storyteller, and I am so glad you found us. Let's get on with the show. Well, hello there, everybody. Long time no speak. It's Kylie here, your coach and host. And I guess you're probably kind of wondering what the heck has happened with our show. It has a new title and it has a new cover. And if you are a regular listener, thank you for being here. And I feel like I owe you a bit of an explanation. So here it is. This first episode is an update on why the podcast is changing names, keeping the same direction, but changing names for a very good reason. And I also want to share with you a bit of an update on my own journey through perimenopause, and particular through mental health and mood challenges, and why that's actually informed the decision about this podcast. So welcome, grab yourself a cup of tea or stride it on out, whatever you're doing when you're listening to this podcast. Hello to all of our beautiful regular listeners that have reached out to me in the off season over the last 4 weeks and said, thank you for the stories and can't wait to hear from you again. That has just been just a beautiful nod to me that these stories are making a difference. So very, very, very grateful. So yes, the Wild and Finally Fucking Free podcast, which used to have the subheading Real Raw Stories of Midlife Magic, is now Menopause, emphasis on the pause, Real Raw Stories of Midlife and Mental Health. The whole reason why I decided to change this name is that my intention for these stories and this connection and community and support and aha moments and inspiration and education that you get from these episodes is to be in the ears and the hearts and the bellies of so many more women in midlife who find themselves in this crazy, tumultuous, discombobulating, up, down, and sideways journey, and are looking for answers. And more than anything, they're looking to not feel alone. Now, whilst I love and will always love the name Wild and Finally Fucking Free, and whilst that is still my intention for each and every one of us to finally feel, maybe on the flip side of the menopause transition, that we are finally wild and finally free to be our full unapologetic self, underneath the mask, underneath the conditioning, underneath the learned behavior, underneath the habits that we had that were keeping us small or stuck or not speaking our truth. So whilst that's still my intention for every one of us, including me, the name Wild and Finally Fucking Free does not tell you that this is a show that focuses on menopause and even more specifically focuses on stories from real women going through the same transition, from real women that are on the other side, and also with the specific flavor of talking much more rawly and openly about the emotional and mental changes that can happen in perimenopause. So when someone looks for a menopause podcast, Wild and Finally Fucking Free didn't show up. And what that means is that these stories are not getting into the ears and the hearts and the bellies of those women looking for answers. So I have very, very consciously changed our name to Menopause. The reason I emphasize the pause is that I really strongly feel that this time in our lives is a natural time of reckoning, as my beautiful friend Neve Daly from Instinct Yoga, hello Neve, if you're listening, would say. It is a time where the wild woman inside of us is starting to speak louder As Brené Brown would say, it's a time when midlife takes us by the shoulders and says, "Oi, are you listening yet? What's inside of you calling you to create or craft or let go or burn down?" And so the pause part of menopause is very consciously about us taking the time to look inside, to ask the questions, to check in with how well we're taking care of ourselves and tending to our own needs, and hopefully finding ways that we can make this transition in a more gentle and more compassionate way for ourselves. Because when I think about my own journey, the biggest lessons I've learned so far is that a lot of the worst symptoms and the worst times that I've felt a particular way is because something is calling for me to make a change and I've resisted it. And as my very first yoga teacher would say, the definition of stress is the time between when a change is needed and when we will allow it to happen. Let that one sink into your skin for a bit. Stress is the difference between the time when a change is being called to happen and the time you're allowing it to. So my intention for this show is to still be talking to real women about real stories, to actually ask the tricky questions and have sometimes confronting conversations about the most trying times in this transition, and also the power and the wisdom and the magic that comes from actually coming home to ourselves, taking care of ourselves, taking the space and the grace to really listen to our hearts and our souls and respond to our own needs. So yes, our name has changed and our tagline's changed and our cover's got a fresh new makeover with the cover, the colors that feel more like me. And you'll probably notice if you're around online and connected to the show that I am actually going through an entire rebrand. And you may wonder why. Like, I've only been back in business for 6 months, but there's been a level of awareness for me through the last few weeks in particular that in many areas of my life, and in particular in the business and online business realms, I have never felt absolutely 100% comfortable being absolutely 100% myself. And something that the last few weeks and their mental health challenges have shown me is that it is absolutely fucking exhausting trying to be something you're not. And so I'm doing you the honor and me the deep honor of actually rebranding to exactly how I want to look and feel. The Kylie that you will find in downtown Fitzworth, the little country town that I live in, the Kylie you'll find on the weekends, not a Kylie that has learnt through many areas in life to put the mask on, to pretend to be a little bit more polished or a little bit more, I don't know, perfectly put together or more knowledgeable or blah, 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 fill in the blank here. So whilst I absolutely love the country pictures that we had taken, you will never find me in a bloody Akubra hat when I'm in my day-to-day life, and so nor should you find that on the cover of my podcast or my website. So here's to all of us coming home to ourselves, coming home to being unapologetic, coming home to being messy and magical and not perfect, and most of all, coming home to feeling absolutely comfortable being fully seen and fully heard just as ourselves. So thank you for being here. And here is a little update on what's been happening for me over the last few weeks and how that's informed some of these big decisions, really big decisions in some areas. So the other thing that I wanted to mention actually before I get into my own journey is that there's so much information out there about menopause, right? And I love that. I love the fact that we are in this big, I feel like we're cresting on this tsunami wave of menopause having its kind of moment in the spotlight. And I love that. And I think that there's a lot of good that comes from that. I also don't want to be part of the noise that's just repeating things that other people have said. And one of the things that I know to be true about myself is that I'm extremely good at interviewing people about the realness and the rawness of their own journey and stories. And I am very, very good at storytelling and having someone's story actually help you to make meaning and learn and educate yourself or feel like you can be a more empowered advocate for yourself. And so I am very consciously choosing to stay in my own lane. So whilst you will still occasionally hear the stories of the healers and helpers that help us through the transition, what you won't hear is another episode interviewing a medical expert about, HRT or HT, giving you the facts about that from the medical and science. I love listening to that sort of stuff, but it's not where my passion and my natural talents lie. So if you're looking for the real stories behind the menopausal journeys, then you are in the right place. Another thing I would deeply love to ask for your help with is sharing this show. We have had an amazing first season, and yet there is so much more to come. I feel deep in my bones this is just the beginning, and I would dearly love for you to give me a hand sharing this episode with just one friend. There is like thousands of you out there listening now. If you each share it with one friend, we have got one more woman times by all the thousands of you that will actually have connection to help, to a source of information, inspiration, education, feeling heard, maybe having a tear, maybe thinking, thank fuck, that is not just the way that I feel. So please take the time to share the episodes that you're loving, that you get so much out of. And please take the time to give a 5-star review and go and share on the podcast platforms that you can, put a few words in there. I know it's a big deal to take time out of your day to do that, but it will make a massive difference to the women that you connect to the show. So thank you. Now, you will also notice that occasionally I am going to be sharing some services/products that I'm very passionate about. And some of these links will indeed be affiliate links. When they are, I will very clearly state this to you. You will not find this podcast filled with ads, but you may occasionally hear me talk about something that I'm passionate about that I think will be helpful to you and that I will share it. The funds from those little affiliate relationships just go back into the back end of this podcast, which is a free resource. So I hope that you don't mind that I'm going to start doing that. So let's get on to my journey. And my journey could be called The Rise of the Phoenix. The Phoenix being me and the rise being, holy fuck, I did not realize I was so badly depressed. Now, I am in two minds about sharing the depth of my personal experience here, and I've decided that the only way that I can be true to myself and be the most helpful to people that may find themselves in the same struggling position is just to be honest with my own journey. Please be mindful that this is still tender for me. And although I've only ever got positive comments and feedback and support from you guys, if you don't like something that I'm saying and you want to give me feedback, that's totally fine, but please do it in a gentle, compassionate way. So, you know, in a previous episode, I shared with you around my birthday in January this year that I really had a time of deep struggle. And I spent a few days in bed, and I've spent a lot of time crying and a lot of time dealing with rage and feeling really sad and flat and just not myself. And I put that down to the perimenopause thing, right? We've been learning about all of these things that can happen, and certainly changes in your mood can occur. And there also comes a time when there is a very real need for all of us to understand how badly we may find ourselves or how what in a poor mental health condition that we may find ourselves, And I would strongly encourage every single person out there that if at any time in the sharing that I'm just about to do, you are hearing parallels to your own journey, that you do not need to feel this way and do it alone. That there is resources out there. I'm going to get quite emotional. There is resources out there to help those of us that are struggling mental health wise. And I am very, very grateful, as I've mentioned on this show before, to have the access and the means to access support services, including having a psychiatrist that has helped me through my ADHD and autism diagnosis and continues to be a regular support of mine. Also my beautiful psychologist, shout out to Claudia, who's just the most beautiful human on the planet, who has helped me to make different meanings of the stories that I've received in earlier life. I'm also very, very, very grateful to have a beautiful, supportive husband that I can be honest with, and two gorgeous daughters that always have my back as well. Having said all of that, and knowing as much as what I do about mental health and working in mental health recovery for a couple of years as a professional, I still missed all the signs. I missed the signs of being even more teary. I missed the signs of not being able to get out of bed some mornings until I really, 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 really forced myself. I miss the signs of being completely lacking in motivation. I miss the signs of not being interested in things that used to light me up. I miss the signs of stopping all of the self-care anchors that I knew worked for me. And most of all, I missed the huge sign to me that I had lost all confidence in myself. And in fact, to be very, very frank, about 4 weeks ago, I found myself in a position where I was just like, I am giving this up. I'm going back to a job. I cannot do this. I don't have anything to offer. I'm not a worthwhile human being, and I don't know why I'm bothering. I'm sorry if this is something that is difficult to hear for people that are in similar situations, and I am being very mindful with the language that I'm using, but I'm trying to walk the line between sharing how badly I was feeling with the potential triggering of people listening to this. The thing about mental health is that the descent into serious depression, which is what is happening in my case, is often so subtle and has happened over such a long time that we ourselves do not notice the difference between how we used to be, in inverted commas, and how we're feeling now. Earlier today, I had a session with the beautiful Claudia, a narrative psychologist who, yeah, as I say, is just a gem of a human being. And she asked me something that was very, it hit me between the eyeballs. This was the first session since I'd spoken to her when I was in a very bad place. And the thing that actually shifted for me before I actually get to the Claudia conversation was that I found myself one weekend, we had family up here for an event in Toowoomba near my hometown. And usually that would be something I would be super excited to go to. And it was like, it was a music event and there was different things to see. And I would usually love to go and listen to the music, particularly outdoor music, particularly live music. And I was going to see family members that I absolutely love and adore. And I would have been looking forward to it. And I went along on the Friday night. And whilst there was a thin thread of enjoyment, the main thing that I was left with was that I was standing in probably hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, listening to music. And Casey Chambers, one of my favorite country artists, I was so looking forward to seeing her, and I was listening to her music and I was singing along or trying to sing, but instead of singing, what I was doing was crying, standing in, hundreds of people, hundreds and hundreds of people. And I finally had a moment where I was like, Kylie, there is something seriously wrong with you and you need some help. The following night, my beautiful husband went back to the same function and I said to him, I don't want to go. I don't want to do anything. And I think that I actually need to on Friday, Monday morning, reach out for professional help. I did not get to the stage where I actively had any ideation of not being here or doing something to myself that harmed me. But my husband did ask me the question, are you safe to leave by yourself? And I thought, holy fuck, okay. That is an extremely confronting and eye-opening conversation to have. And I was able to say very clearly, no, I'm fine, but I just don't want to be around crowds. I don't want to have to deal with people and I don't want to have to pretend that I'm okay. So on the Monday morning, I phoned my psychiatrist and got an emergency appointment. I phoned my psychologist and booked in for a meeting. And luckily for me, there was an emergency appointment for my psychiatrist very early on, and I told him everything that was going on. And when I talked to him pretty much in tears for the whole conversation, he said, and I was still thinking at this stage, this is just perimenopause. It's just something that you need to deal with, or maybe it's something to do with ADHD / autism. I don't really know. I don't know what to think about this. Anyway, in our conversation, long story short, he said, yes, Kylie, you do have ADHD and autism. And yes, it is true that when you medicate, particularly ADHD, you can have an experience of feeling very strong emotions because your brain doesn't skitter away from things anymore. With the medication, you're able to focus. And so when you have a strong surge of emotion, you will find that that feels very disconcerting because for the first time in your life, you are able to hold focus on how you're feeling rather than your brain just going, oh, squirrel, let's go and look for some dopamine, bright, shiny object and just distract yourself. So I was kind of thinking that that was what was going on. And he looked me in the eyeballs across the telehealth little screen and he said, Kylie, we need to bring in the big guns. This is serious depression and we need to treat it like that. And I said, but maybe it's just perimenopause. And he said, it may well be. But the thing is that with the combination of things that you're describing to me, the lack of motivation, the lack of affect, not wanting to do things that usually are finding enjoyable and no motivation, and particularly the lack of confidence, concerning particularly in light of the fact that when I first started going to him, his experience of me was a fairly confident person. Like when I first met him, I was like, I don't have ADHD or autism. I'm like fully functioning, mate. And then we kind of chatted and I was like, okay, maybe there's something here. Anyway, long story short, what I have decided to do, and I'm very, very clearly telling you this as a personal story and not medical advice, obviously, but it needs to be said. What I decided to do was use a specific medication that not only helps me to sleep, but also enables my brain to stay a lot calmer than what it had been. I had been struggling with my sleep for a good 6 months, and I've talked about that in this podcast before. And what that does to me is when I don't sleep, my mental health goes for a slide and my confidence goes for a slide. But the negative cycle was continuing in such a rapid fashion that it was sucking me down very quickly. I, at the same time, also went to my GP, actually just for a checkup on something else that I need to go and get done in terms of heart health because of the recent, I've been diagnosed with a joint condition and it can affect your heart valve. So I'm going to get that checked out. And in that conversation, I said to her, look, I am really feeling very flat and my confidence is not there. I'm really not motivated in my business and I'm really unsure of myself. And she said to me, look, I think it is time that we actually started using some estrogen as well to support you. And because of how bad I had been feeling leading up to this particular day that I'm talking about, I agreed. So I have, in the same space of time, changed, added a medication through my psychiatrist and also added estrogen as a little sticky dot on my tummy. The combination of those things is that I am back to feeling so much more calm. I'm sleeping well. And I have to tell you, the amount of clarity and awareness of myself and how bad I'd been feeling is, again, quite confronting. I didn't realize how bad my mental health had gotten until I wasn't feeling like that anymore. This is why I want to be telling these stories, because I think that there's a lot of information out there about the physical symptoms of menopause, the hot flushes, certainly the insomnia, urogenital symptoms, all of the physical stuff. But I really don't think that we are talking enough about the mental and emotional impacts of this journey. That's not to say that everyone will develop depression. I am going to be doing a lot more research into what looks to be in the scientific literature some indications that if you've had childhood trauma or you've had previous depression or you've had PMDD, which is premenstrual dysmorphic disorder, I can never quite say that, that you are at increased risk of having depression during menopause. Now, don't take that as gospel, because I need to go away and get my research facts and science head out there and find some experts that can really help us to dive into this together. So, together, those medications have made a massive difference to me. The reason why the podcast went on a hiatus was because I woke up one morning just around this same time and could not do anything business-wise. And so I needed to clear my calendar. I contacted everyone that I had booked in and one-on-one people, and I cancelled everything except for my Soothe sessions, which I had just launched. And I have found the space and obviously the medication and the better sleep to be quite transformative in the way that it has actually allowed me to see the forest for the trees. The trees being intense depressive symptoms and the forest being my holistic health overall. So fast forward to today's conversation with my beautiful psychologist. She asked me a question. She said, "Kylie, you said to me before that the most difficult thing for you was asking for help. Can you talk to me more about that?" And I actually said, "Claudia, actually, it's not that it was difficult to ask for help, because once I knew that I needed help, it was actually very simple for me. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I needed to call in the guns. I needed to talk to my husband. I needed to be honest with my kids. I needed to reach out to close friends and say, I'm really fucking struggling. What was difficult was understanding that my mental health had declined so much that I needed to ask for help. I think of myself as a pretty self-aware person, but I did not understand how bad things had gotten. And so she asked me a follow-up question, and I want to share it with you today in the hopes that it opens up something for you. I've had a couple of conversations lately about the concept of mental fitness and emotional maintenance. Now, mental fitness has been spoken about and written about previously, and again, I need to do a bit more research and kind of understanding more from my perspective, but this concept of emotional maintenance, that phrase was something that I used in a Soothe call when we were talking about journaling. Journaling for me is a very, very good way of getting my emotional state out and on paper so that I can actually kind of look at where I'm at as an observer and go, wow, okay, that's a little bit messy, or oh, there's the pattern again, or oh, that's the, you know, the stuckness or the stagnation or the little, you know, inner Kylie that needs some loving. And so I was talking about journaling being this emotional maintenance. The follow-up question today that Claudia asked me was, what are the signs? If you're saying to me it's difficult to have the awareness that you need help, can you now look backwards at yourself? And I'm challenging you or inviting you to do the same thing. Can you look backwards at the things that have really been trying and give yourself some indicators or flags that when you actually see them the next time, they just give you that little indication that, whoa, okay, maybe things aren't great here. So the way that Claudia described it is rather than thinking, oh, I have depression, which she agreed was one of those difficult things to kind of even know when you're in such a depressed mood, is that you pay attention to the flags that are the symptoms. So I'm going to share some of my flags with you, and I'm going to leave with you with a couple of questions. So for me, the flags are definitely a lack of confidence and clarity around what I'd like to do or what I'd like to offer in business, because usually my brain is full of ideas and I find it pretty easy to connect to my heart and say, all right, big, beautiful heart inside, what's the next thing? What do I want to open next? What do I want to offer next? When I lose that ability to have the confidence and the checking in internally, that's one flag for me. When my mood is mostly irritated or mostly sad, that's another flag for me. So for me, it goes both ways. For other people with depression, it goes one or the other. You know, one of the significant things with depression, if you say to your doctor, I am always irritable or I am always sad, crying, feel depressed, feel flat, there's a couple of big kind of indicators to them. The other big thing was I am pretty good at getting out of bed in the morning and feeling like, all right, day, let's do this. But I had no motivation. And when I say no motivation, I'm literally like, I could not give a flying left trotter of a pig whether I did or didn't get something done today. And that is incredibly unusual for me. I also lost interest in the things that I usually love. So I lost interest in the podcast. I lost interest in writing on social media. I lost interest in even checking in with my girls and like spending time with them or being present with them when they're having a conversation with me. I lost interest in being on our bike, which I love. I lost interest in staying connected to my husband. I was like, you can sit there and watch TV. I'm going to bed. I don't even care. Don't even care. You can just do your own thing. I'm not interested. So what we talked about after that was if you're paying attention to those symptoms, what can you put in place that is the kind of pattern interrupters so that when the symptoms start, you can go, oh, okay, what do I need to do now? And this is where that concept of emotional maintenance came in. She said to me, you know, you don't drive your car around and not service it, not put fuel in it, not check the tire pressure. Well, I don't do the tire pressure, let's be honest. And then when the check engine light comes on, you don't just ignore that check engine light. Although if you're Penny in, what is that show called? Oh, Brain Fog. Oh my goodness. The show about the science geeks with Sheldon in it. Oh, that's going to drive me nuts. Anyway, if you know, you know. Yeah, you don't ignore the maintenance that you're required to make sure that your car is in a good state so it's okay to travel you around. Similarly, we need to be paying attention to the things that we need to be doing for ourselves for our emotional and mental maintenance. So here's the things that I came up with, and they'll be different for you. So if I'm starting to use the language, I just don't feel like myself anymore, I just don't know what to do next, that's what I'd been saying to my husband for about, I don't know, a couple of months. I am going to have a conversation with my husband tonight about paying attention to those specific words so that that's an indicator to him that things are starting to slippery slope in the direction we don't want them to go in. I'm also going to be having those conversations with a couple of really close friends that I have very, very open and intimate relationships with where I will ask them the same thing. And she suggested something which I've never thought to do, but to actually say when you do have regular catch-ups with your friends, like use the are you okay concept when you actually catch up. Like how are you feeling mentally and emotionally? Because it's the type of thing that maybe it's not top of mind for us to go, oh, I must talk to such and such about this. But if someone actually asks you an open-ended question, it prompts that internal focus where you might become a little bit more aware of the internal landscape. A big thing for me is continued connection with both Claudia, my psychologist, and also my psychiatrist. So ongoing maintenance at the moment for me looks like check-ins every month with both of them. I am very aware that that is a distinct privilege that may not be accessible to a lot of people. And I will put underneath this episode some links to some free services, particularly in Australia, like Lifeline and Beyond Blue, where you can access support of trained mental health professionals if you do need, you know, professional mental health support. The other thing that we talked about was having this concept of knowing what makes you feel good. So what makes you go in the other spiral? So if you think about mental health pulling you down into a negative spiral of not sleeping, no confidence, mental health going down, and then having that awful descent into the black hole, what are the things that help you to go in the other spiral? So those are the things for me, like making sure I do have fun stuff. So getting back out on the bike regularly. I talked to her about I've got this desire to go away for some solo camping trips, and I really want to investigate some outdoor hiking experiences that I can do with other women. Because I feel like my strength training is something that's really important to me, but I want to be moving and out in nature and also having connection with more women in my local area that, you know, I might actually find some new friends or find some people to go on adventures with. That's not something that will interest my husband. So it's one of those things that it's like, you know, what are my own interests? The other thing that I'm becoming really aware of is one of the key things for my emotional maintenance is time to myself. I am very high need time to myself at the moment. That's a new thing for me, and I don't know whether that's partly perimenopause or partly mental health, partly, I don't know, feeling more with medicated ADHD, but it's just knowing what you need yourself, right? So the other thing that I made a commitment to, and it's very easy when I'm teaching, and this is, you know, this is how a lot of yoga teachers passively manipulate their own self-care, is when you are teaching, you will always turn up for your clients, your students. You make a commitment to turn up 2 times a week for students. That's what you do. Sometimes when we make a commitment to ourselves and we're not feeling great, it's easier to kind of, you know, flick that commitment off. So when I'm in session for Soothe, which is my 28-day self-care immersion, that has been such a beautiful thing for me to come back home to, is showing other women how to stay connected to their internal landscape by using their bodies and their breath to access and to understand how they're feeling and how to release emotions and how to really check in on their internal landscape. All of those tools are things that I need to be using regularly, and all of those tools have had a profoundly positive impact on the women inside of Soothe, and that has been a beautiful thing for me to experience when I am in a state where I also need to be anchoring my self-care so much. And this is why self-care is such a strong message for me. I'm not saying self-care will prevent depression. And I'm not saying self-care will prevent challenging perimenopause symptoms or menopausal symptoms. What I am saying is that self-care is those foundational lifestyle factors that you can influence. That my intention always with my own self-care is that I want to be checking in on myself so I'm more gentle and more self-compassionate, that I can see quicker when things are going downhill, and that I can have a more solid and stable foundation to try and ride the waves of perimenopause. So my questions to you are, how are you? Are you okay? Is your mental health okay? Is your emotional landscape okay? Do you need to check in on with a friend? Do you need to seek some support from your doctor? Do you need to seek some support from a mental health professional? As I said at the beginning of this episode, there is too many women feeling like this and kind of like me. Someone described depression to me the other day as like being in a very deep, very narrow hole in the ground. And you can only see in front of you, and all you're looking at is darkness, and you don't even realize that you're in the hole. And that is such a good description to me of how I've been feeling. And I didn't know how bad I'd been feeling until I was helped with support, with medication, with changes to the way that I'm dealing with different things in my life, to actually come to the surface out of the hole and go, wow, there's sunlight here. And there's beautiful people that are there to support me. And there's a gorgeous community that I am very committed to serving, and that I do have something of value to offer the world. And that it is important that my needs and every single woman who's listening to this needs are met. You are so, so, so precious. So my question is, how are you? Are you okay? And if you're really honest and there's a little wobble in the answer, or there's even a hint of no, I'm not, please do something about it. Please reach out to a friend or a professional. Please go and do something for yourself to give yourself what you need. And I guess, just like Claudia asked me today, is if you are feeling okay now, but you've had periods before where you haven't, can you take the time now from a more solid foundation to look back at those periods in your life and find the flags or indicators for yourself, so that when they next happen, if they next happen, that you are forearmed and forewarned and you have structures of support, connection, check-in in place for yourself. And whilst we're at it, thinking about each one of your beautiful girlfriends or the women in your life, are they okay? Have you checked in? And that's not to say I'm saying you need to be a mental health professional. I'm just saying, please start having these conversations. Something that contributed to me being more aware of how bad that I was feeling was a conversation with a friend of mine when I went away with some girlfriends about a month ago. And she said, oh, sorry, I didn't contact you for your birthday. And I said, oh, it's probably best that you didn't. I spent the day in bed crying and feeling like maybe I shouldn't be here. And I said that as a bit of an offhand remark, and no one responded at the time. And at the time I was like, wow, that feels like it's important to say something to. And I thought, okay, well, you know, different strokes, different folks. At least I'm speaking my truth. And that friend, one of the four other people that I was with, were in the car driving later on, and she just said, when I heard you say that, all I could think was none of us would forgive ourselves if something happened to you because you didn't think anyone cared. And that makes me sad because she could see that I was struggling, but I still didn't have the clarity of thought to be able to kind of, you know, to see it. And potentially there's someone in your life that is struggling like I had been, and you could be that friend that actually said, that's not normal, it's not okay. Go and ask for help. Or just simply, I'm here for you. Tell me what's going on. And together, coming up with a plan. So I guess from my story, you probably understand a little bit more about why mental and emotional health in perimenopause and midlife is such a big passion topic for me at the moment, because if I, as a pretty informed person, and I would like to think pretty self-aware person, can find themselves in a significant period and depth of depression and not have realized themselves, it just says to me that we're not talking enough about this. And I know that around Are You Okay Day in September, there's a big, you know, a mental health, you know, wave of awareness. I spoke to Kelly Teagle from WellFem, who it's a menopause telehealth service, and she is the founder. And I spoke to her this morning, and you'll listen to that in a few episodes' time. And we flagged this idea of actually having an Are You Okay Day for menopause. And I think it's a bloody good idea. And what we were talking about was not mental health specific. And you know what? It doesn't have to be. Just check in. Check in with your midlife girlfriends and just see how they're actually doing. Let's be honest. Let's share the burden of how we're feeling, and let's not suffer in silence, because like me, there is support available, and there is also, if you choose to and if it is the best fit for you individually, there is medication that can help. There is therapies that can help. There is counseling that can help. And there's certainly simple self-practices like the journaling end of things and like yoga and breath that will help with managing stress. They won't magically disappear depression, but they do help. So I think that's enough from me. Another hopefully not too waffly unscripted solo episode. In summary, thank you for being here. I hope that you love the new cover and the brightness and the boldness of both the new cover and also the brand, but also the unapologetic nature with which I am approaching life now that I'm out of this deep, dark hole that I've been in. And I hope that me being fully myself helps you to be fully yourself. With deep, 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 deep gratitude and love. Have a beautiful rest of your day. And may you be traveling this transition with gentleness and self-compassion. Thanks so much for listening into today's episode. If you love the show, as I hope you do, please take the time to subscribe on your favorite pod listening platform and rate and review. And for bonus points, if you have a friend or someone who popped to mind as you were listening to this episode, why not hit the share link wherever you're listening and send them a little love bomb. Like, listen to this. Did you know this is normal? I really, really, really would love to get these beautiful stories into the hearts and ears and minds of so many more midlife mavens. And your help spreading the love is truly, truly appreciated. Thank you so much. I'm Kylie Patchett, your host, and have a spectacular day.